Hi, everybody. It's Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles, Stories of the Supernatural. And today I have a super, super special guest. It's Kristen Lee, the owner of the very, very haunted Bel Air House in Ohio. Okay. And as you know, she lived there. She's experienced everything firsthand. Plus, a bunch of other paranormal groups have gone in there and have done their own things. But at the end of the day, there's nothing like getting it directly from a person that has lived there, has done the research into the background, and has seen firsthand what are the manifestations that take place there. Okay, which, believe me, that in and of itself, you know, even if you read her book, you know, even with other paranormal groups, that firsthand daily experience of living in a house like the Bel Air House, it's got to be an ever-changing thing, and we'll get into that later, but here we go. Hey, Kristen, how are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for spending the next couple moments with me. How are you tonight?
Don't worry about that. You know, yeah, we were having, prior to this, we were having a Skype moment, and like more than a moment. We were like, thank God that she got her techno teenager to save the day. Otherwise,
yes.
It's like what? But anyway, Kristen. Anyway, I wanted to thank you so much for taking the time and talking about your experiences. I'm sure you've done a million times, but you know what? I know there's a lot of nuances that go on with owning a property. Besides the fact that that once you lived there, but you left, of owning a property like the Bel Air House. But before we get into that, did you ever have encounters with the paranormal before you ever lived there in the Bel Air House?
Not like that. No, never. Never like that. Honestly, God, no. I am a psychic medium. I've always been an intuitive. I've always been really in tune with spirit, and I was raised that way. But I was raised in a very positive, loving, happy, love, light. And I think that without the negative, there's no balance. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying I wanted this. I never wanted this to happen, but that's the truth of the matter. So, nothing like this. No, nothing. And absolutely nothing.
Mm-mm. So in other words, you had, it sounds like you were an open-minded person as far as a paranormal and things of this nature, but it sounds almost like, in a way, you were unprepared for what you experienced later on once you got the Bel Air House. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. 100%. Yes.
Okay.
And I believed in spirit. I believed in afterlife. I believed in so many different wonderful things. But the night that I saw that full apparition on the couch, it woke me up. That's when I think everything changed for me. I questioned my sanity. You know, I definitely blame psychology because of the flash floods and because of us being homeless, opposed to paranormal. And I kept doing that over and over and over again. I mean, I think I went through the whole diagnostic manual, you know, the DSM,
And you know what? But that's good in a way, because you know what? You were trying to rationalize it, which a lot of people do even when they experience even minor paranormal stuff, nothing to the degree of that. But you made a good point. One thing is when you read about a story where somebody says, hey, I saw a full body apparition, you know, or you see a show and you're seeing it with your own two eyes.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, and I think that that's where there's like a mind shift. And so what happened? You saw it, and was it the seeing? Was there also some type of feeling that came with it?
Fear. Pure fear. Pure, absolute fear. I mean, it woke me up. I've never had anything wake me up like that ever in my life. You know, I've had nightmares and stuff like that from watching spooky shows with the old beta VHS tapes back in the day, you know, like Jason Voorhees and stuff, but nothing ever like that. Not seeing something. I mean, I thought that I was delusional. I thought that I was suffering from visual hallucinations, from maybe triggered by PTSD because of the flood and not sleeping and not working. And then I even went in further later in the years and started reading like journals from PhDs out of Stanford that study paranormal and paranormal investigators. And hold on, I gotta kiss my kid. I'm so sorry.
That's all we can always. Hey, definitely,
he just pops
we can
out of
always
nowhere for
stop
hugs
for that.
And kisses.
Yes.
But and then I even thought, you know, because the paranormal investigator, well, they hardly sleep, and they're on the road, and they're up all night, and they're investigating, and then they have their real lives, you know what I mean, with their real
sure.
jobs and their families. So how are they sleeping? Is that some sort of a form that would trigger them to see, you know, see things that truly aren't there? Is it the suggestion? Because no one told me the house was haunted, so I ruled out suggestion. That wasn't an option, but that lack of sleep, that overworking, because I was working two jobs, mm-hmm. and I was in graduate school, so yeah, I was tired. So I thought that first, you know.
Let me ask you: when you saw it, obviously, I understand the fear part. And the reason why I say this is I've had that experience. One thing is the fear part, because basically you're seeing something that you're thinking, okay, this is paranormal or whatever. Was there any foreboding that was coming off of it, I guess, is my question, you know? Or was it just you, of course, having what I call a Scooby-Doo moment, where you're like, how can I be seeing this? And you're scared because you're scared. Or was there something, some type of, how can I say it, malevolence that was coming off of it, that which was made you even have a worse?
No, I think I was just so startled.
It was just
Bella,
the startle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And our dog was growling, and she was going in circles. And Hefe and Lane, my son, mm-hmm. they were still sleeping. I mean, but a hurricane could happen, and those two would still sleep, you know?
Right.
So I had to wake Hefe up, and it's like some guy was just here. And, you know, looking back to, I was telling Noreen about this a couple of years ago.
Right.
That cushion went down. So there's weight to spirit. There's absolutely weight. Because I know it went down. I thought it was Hefe trying to get lucky. You know, I really thought
right.
that's what it was when I was sleeping. But when I opened my eyes, it was a full, it reminds me of like shrimp. When you cook shrimp, it becomes that translucent, like gray. That's what this figure looked like. And I know it was a male because I could clearly see the features of his face. That was the first time.
Was there any animation to his face, any type of expression on it, or
just
was it
just a solace look, just no expression, flat affect,
flat out,
complete.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, and I know exactly what you're talking about. That, you know what? Only the dead can do that. With that wide-eyed stare,
I didn't know that.
No expression, nothing, nothing. If you, no living person, I don't care how still you are, can ever duplicate that. Only the dead can do it, which is that open eye, unblinking, like you said, flat affect, nothing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
it's like they took a jar of Botox and put it all over their face. Nothing. It's, and I think that's part of what's so scary when you see something like that, because it's unnatural in a living person. Okay.
Right.
Even a person that's resting, that's sleeping, will never, ever, ever have that stillness in the face. And we, you know, we do a lot of communicating, you know, by visual cues, you know. And I think that that's also what scares a lot of people when they see something like what you described, because mm-hmm. to them it's like, you know, somewhere in their brain you're going, that guy is, besides, like you said, that weird color, that thing is that, you know, that, hey, you know, there's something here that's not quite, you know. But of course, like you did, you jumped to the thing is like, I'm seeing somebody, I think dead, alive, I don't know.
Right.
And, How you said, had the house sat empty for a while before you got it?
It did. The previous owners had foreclosed on the home.
Mm-hmm.
They will not communicate with me. They won't tell me why.
really?
And I hate to be negative, because I choose positive over negative
sure.
all the time. I really try to do that. But like the kids that would hang out at her house and stuff like that, they are just violent little girls on Facebook. Well, every time we post something, and, you know, one of them even said it was her mission in life. It was to destroy me. Well, why?
Are you kidding?
Why? So what secrets are they keeping? What are they trying to do? You know, and it's not only fighting with the negative spirits inside of the Blair House, or the negative energy inside of the Blair House. It's also fighting with the mundane, the uneducated mundane,
right,
here in the local area. So everybody, you know, the news, the local news, when we aired on Paranormal Lockdown, gosh, they were beating down the door for an interview. And I'm like, not here. I said, this is not our market. Our market is national. It is not local, because we're right in Bible Belt. And
right,
I have been called a Satanist. I have been called a baby killer. I've been called a goat slayer. I've been called so many things.
All righty then. You eat babies, huh? Okay. Yes, I believe it. I understand completely where you're coming from.
Difficult. Yeah. It's difficult.
Yeah. And you know what? It makes you wonder, you know, where you said about the prior owners, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, you know?
Right.
Was that something that they took with them when they left from being there, you know?
I don't know.
So
who knows?
Yeah. And like you said, it's, yeah, there's something there that probably that they had their own experiences, if they even really realized what was going on.
Right.
That's why they don't even want to talk to you about it. Okay, so you saw this apparition, and you, like you said, you kind of like weirded out, but you said, okay, you went through all this checklist of, I'm going crazy, I'm delusional, I'm seeing things, I'm overworked, I'm stressed, you name it. What was the next thing that happened that you said, okay?
The next thing that happened to me, was I went to Walmart optical department to get my glasses, and there was a local man sitting there. And I was so excited about the house. The house is just beautiful.
Okay.
And I was going on and on and on with him about the gables and all of this. And he stopped me. He's like, yes, I know about that house. He's like, that's where the old seer lived. And silly me, I'm like, and you know, the yard is so big and blah, 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 and yada, yada. And I'm driving home to Belair Hardware to get more supplies to fix the house.
Okay.
And it hit me. I was like, oh my God, a seer. Holy cow. Okay.
That's an unusual
word,
by the way. Not a lot of people use that word.
Yeah. So it hit me. And I went into the house and I'm like, Jefe, I met this guy who's a local, and he said that a seer lived here. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. He had no idea. He's like, I got to go upstairs and get the bathroom done. He's like, I don't have time.
Yeah, he's so, like, right. Okay, so seer, like in Sears catalog. Okay, no, I know it.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I went to the dining room, and I just stood there for such a long time right in front of the fireplace. And it turns out through research years later that that's where Edwin Hetherington did the seances, because that's where his sister died. Lai died in the house.
Okay.
And she died in front of the fireplace. For some reason, I don't know if it was my intuition, I don't know if spirit led me there, I don't know. That's unexplainable to me still to this day, but it's very odd that this man would just come out of nowhere and tell me that a seer lived there. And I went back to the optical department like years later to try to find his records, right?
Right.
I was like, this was the date that I was here. Can you give me the information of, you know, the people that the doctor saw that day? Well, no, they can't. That's HIPAA violations. But I tried everything to find him.
Right.
You know?
Because it sounds like somebody that had been living there a while, if he was aware.
I never did find that man.
It sounds like somebody that's been there for a while, if he was aware of that.
He was a local.
Yeah. A local and who knew about the history. Because, I mean, how long ago had that man lived at the house? Quite a while back. So. And so, okay, but, you know, so you're like,
yes.
Okay, well.
It was, But he was probably, I'd say he was in his 80s, maybe early 90s.
Oh, okay. So he, yeah.
Did I lose you?
Okay, so he had been around for a while then. And,
yes.
But still, from what you're telling me, you're still happily decorating your new house, which you're thrilled to be in, with the one time that you saw a guy. Okay,
yeah.
Well, all right.
Yep.
Which is great, because to me it's like the last thing you were really looking for was to say, I've got a haunted house. You were caught up in living life, in other words, you know.
Right. You know, the beds are going here. Oh, my goodness, we get to go in the refrigerator and not share it with three other families tonight. Woohoo!
Yeah.
You know, because we get to use a towel, and it probably was not Uncle Roy's butt. Woohoo!
Yeah.
All those great things,
you know? What? Of course. That's what I call you. You're living life. You're doing, you know, you're like, you know, the last thing on your mind was like.
Ghosts.
What came afterwards.
Right.
So did anybody later on, or were you the only one at the beginning that was having experiences?
No, my oldest son, he didn't feel comfortable sleeping in that master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
He actually started sleeping on the couch, and he came to me one day. He said, Ma, he's like, somebody's watching me in there. He's like, I'm not sure if it's Auntie or she's protecting me or she's letting us know that we've arrived and we're safe and it's time to build self-sufficiency. He says, but it just doesn't feel right, you know. And I trust him because he'll get there when he's older. He's 23 right now. But when 9/11 happened, he ran into my bedroom and he's like, Mommy, 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 the Statue of Liberty's on fire.
Wow.
And yeah, so he's very, 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 and it hadn't happened yet. It happened later that morning. That his father ran into the house and was screaming, turn the news on, turn the news on. So I know that we call him Ringo. That's his real name. But if we call him Nick too. Yeah, we call him Ringo. But he's very, very intuitive. He's so, 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 so intuitive. And he's done so well, you know, with what we have all been through in our family. He's just graduated from college with English Lit, and
wow.
He's going on for his master's. He just bought his own home. And I'm a little disappointed in him because he didn't tell me that he was buying a home, because he knew what I would do. I would research everything about it. I would go inside of it.
Yes.
And I would make sure that my son was protected. So in that way, he did it on his own, but he wanted to be a big boy and make those decisions. And I respect that. I raised him to make those decisions. But he is just, after all that we've been through, I couldn't ask for a greater kid. He's amazing.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's overcome so much. Yes.
And you know what? When you have, you know, it's like, it's really difficult to ever let go of that mommy thing. But, you know, like you said, it's a really good feeling when you see that your kid, you know, is making his way in the world as an adult and is self-sufficient. And yeah, it's difficult to curtail that effort. Like you just said, well, you know, after that, but hey, you know what? Bottom line, you're always there for the as a safety net, you know, so.
Right. Yep. It's funny though, because he's a homeowner and he can live in his house, but we can't.
You know, it's incredible to think of it, you know.
We laugh about that.
Well, you know what better to, you know what? And Kristen, I'm going to tell you, you know, I see a lot of people that are involved in the paranormal that sometimes take it too seriously and don't know how to laugh about things.
Right.
Okay. And it's like, you can't get, then you start getting into the morbid things, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, absolutely. I agree with you that you need to laugh about things and keep it in perspective. Otherwise it overcomes you, because let's face it, you're talking about dead people or horrible circumstances that they died. Or in your case, what happened with you was all these set of circumstances where it sounds like you got to the point where you realize it's not me. It's what's in
right.
here.
Right. Yep.
We're living in my home, which is the worst part.
Yeah, because I remember there were days, this is when I was alone in the house, because we all separated. All of us separated. Nick went first, and then Hefe left, and then Lane and I left, and I took a job as a psychologist in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
We had renters, and the renters didn't stay, so we couldn't stay in Columbus. We had to come back because we still had a mortgage.
Right.
And I remember those days where we would be in the house, and it would be so draining. Like, I seriously remember having the futon mattress in the living room. That's where we slept. And frying chicken and waking up the next day after eating the chicken, the meat, and it was still there. And that's not like me. I would just go to sleep, and we would sleep all the time.
Right.
And he would, too. Lane would, too. And when we would go outside, the sun was shining, the birds were singing. We would go to friend's house, and it would be normal. But as soon as we went back in that house, it was abnormal. It wasn't, there was something weird going on there. And that's what we called it back then. It's just weird. It's just odd.
So it's somewhere along the line you realized, okay, everything changes when we are in here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you, that family that was there all that time, did they ever call you with anything, Kristen, that you were like, okay, I think I know what they're calling about? Or what happened when they with them?
The renters?
Yeah.
Yeah, the renters reported the little girl seeing, laughing at things that weren't there. The father had been staying in the attic. He would never leave the attic, just like Hefe.
Really?
He was always in the attic. He actually, I don't know how the heck he did this, but bringing a pool table in the attic, and that was his man cave. And that's exactly what happened to Hefe. Exactly.
Isn't
he never came out of that attic.
That's very unusual. You know that, right?
Yes. 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 That's why I don't believe in synchronicities anymore. Not even in life, like everyday life. I just don't. It's just there's always a correlation. There's always some sort of a spiritual correlation that needs to be looked at, and we have to look at it with an open point of view,
right?
And accept and believe and have faith that we are all spiritual beings here to learn lessons and to love and reciprocate love and help the most people. I truly believe that. The Belair House taught me that. There's no other reason why we're here. There isn't.
So what happened? When was, you know, here you are, you know, you're drawn back to it because, you know, like you said, you just couldn't walk away from a mortgage. So here you come back, and what happens? Do you start having experiences again, or what happened when you came back?
Yeah, we came back, and then Lane went to stay with Hefe's parents because it was just safer for him to be there. And I just didn't trust the house. At that point, I didn't trust the house. But I couldn't tell my peers because they were all psychologists, and I didn't want to be locked away. Because you know how the psychology mind goes.
Yeah.
The auditory and visual hallucinations. She's going crazy. Because I would have diagnosed someone like that, too. I would have. I mean, I absolutely 100% would have. And so friends started to come. And stay with me because I was alone. It was just me and Bella in the house.
Okay.
And then finally, the one profound thing that happened, and I didn't write about it in the book because I had forgotten about it, but my friend Johnny Bowman, he and I were playing music. We were, I play music. I think all paranormal people play music. There's something there with that. But that's my therapy. That's what I do to release. And
okay.
We were in the living room playing music, and the phone started ringing, like the phone on the wall.
Okay.
And I had disconnected that phone months ago. So there's no reason why it was ringing. And Bowman looked up at me, and he said, you know, he says, you're going to answer the phone? I said, it's probably a creditor. I'll just let it go, because I couldn't even tell him. You know, here's this badass metal sleeved out tattoo person that would have accepted it and probably would have helped me.
Yeah.
But I was still too scared to tell anybody that the house was what it was. And my claims were strong. But he was right there. And I could have, like, walked up to the phone and said, look, Bowman, it's no cords. There's nothing here.
He would have been like, what?
Yeah. But he reminded me of that after I came out and told people. And then we were on TV. And he reminded me about that. But he won't come back to the house because he's scared to death of the house because of that incident now.
Well,
but his daughter and his wife had come into the house too, and she saw a little boy, and she kept calling him TJ. TJ's hurt. TJ has boo-boos. TJ fell down the steps. Well, one of the investigators found a carved name in an attic, in the panel of the attic, with EJ. I'd never seen that before. And nobody knew about that. No
right.
one knew that little Laura had saw some person named TJ.
That there was a correlation, an actual. Let me ask you something, Kristen, and I'm going to ask you because every time that things come up that have to do with children, do you think that these are actual spirit of children, or are they something that's mimicking children?
Menza, menza. Not at the Belair House. Not at the Belair House, no. I don't feel like that. But When I do my work, my psychic medium work, there are children that come through, and I know that they're children.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's I go into it in a different way.
I don't feel, and you can even look at history and people that are psychic, people that are this are possessed and they can conjure anything and they can hear anything. And mm-hmm. I thought I was that for a couple of years too, but that's harder to deal with. And I hadn't found anybody that would help me to overcome that, because even MSWs, I mean, I went to so many different of my peers. I mean, hey guys, what do you think of this? The cat's out of the bag, you know, my house is haunted, but you know, I'm not crazy because here's the evidence. And they couldn't come up with anything either from that psychological point of view. So I don't know. That's an answer. I just don't know. Okay. In the Blair House, no, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
But outside of that, I don't, I'm 50-50. I'm still mensa mensa on that one, you know?
Okay. Well, you know what? And it's understandable. And you know, when you mentioned that thing about that you were even having a hard time telling this friend of yours, which more than likely he would have understood. If you think about it, once you actually spoke it, it's mm-hmm. like, okay, this is real. You know, I can't, you know, how many things are going to have to happen? And once you start talking about it, it was like, okay, that's it. There's no more like,
yes,
I can backtrack on this and it was just my imagination or whatever. So that's understandable,
right.
Which, you know, it put you in a tough spot because this is where you lived. This is not like, you know, every place you go, you got to go home. So,
right.
So what point did you feel, okay, besides the fact, like you said, I'm feeling drained, and it's so much so that you realize this is where I'm in this place that I start feeling this way. When was the next event? Besides, and I know what you're saying, because a lot of people sometimes think that the paranormal takes place like in 72 hours, and sometimes it creeps in very slowly, much slower than people think. And like you said already, kind of your family, you know, had gone off in a little bit of different directions,
right.
But had to come back.
Yes.
What happened then where you said, at what point did you realize, okay, this is just not a scary haunted house where, because it's ghosts and I'm seeing things and maybe I feel a little bit drained, that you felt that, okay, this is something maybe out of my depth, that this is dark. What happened?
Right.
Was there a significant moment where you said...
I was at home. Friends came in from Florida and to stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was in the back bedroom and things were gone. It was me and Bella, and I was pinned down to the bed. I couldn't move. It felt like paralysis because the only thing that I could move was my eyes. And Bella, my dog, had been trying to free me. She was trying to protect me. She was just barking and scratching. And it was, I thought I was going to die. I thought that was it. I thought that
wow.
When, you know, Summer and John got home, that they were going to find me dead. And
wow.
Bella had tried so hard to free me that she was thrown up against the wall. And I saw her be... just lifted up by nothing, like nothing. Now there's nothing that lifted her up. There's nothing, and she just was slammed up against the wall.
Oh my God!
And at that pivotal point, my left arm, came free, and then when that came free, I started pleading the blood of Jesus Christ and calling upon Saint Miguel,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I knew. At that point, that's all I knew how to do. I probably screamed for Yamaya and all the others. It was just I was so scared. And I picked her up and we got out. We left. And I went to the reservoir and just floated in the water for hours. And she had her leg hurt pretty bad, but she was okay. And the next day, I went back to the house and I started petitioning to get me out of that house.
Okay.
And a few days later, out of nowhere, out of absolutely nowhere, and this is by the grace of the gods, that we had a hailstorm a couple weeks prior to that incident, and all of these big construction workers were in town, and they all needed places to live. So this guy knocked on my door, and he said, would you like to rent your house out to 10 construction workers?
And you're like, yeah.
when do you want me out? And he said, tomorrow. And I said, give me 3 days. And boom, we were gone. Left. See you later. Bye.
Okay.
And then they didn't stay. They sublet. And the subleasers left. And that's when I filed bankruptcy on the house.
You know what? You never found out if those guys had any experiences or did they just like...
Oh, yeah. Out of here? No. They did. They did not like me. Because I wasn't on the up with them. I knew what that house was. But I didn't. And this is something that I'm going to have to live with this part for the rest of my life. I knew what it was, but I didn't care because I cared about myself and my family more than about anybody else. And
but you know, Kristen, that's understandable also. You know, don't be so hard on yourself because in truth, you know what? There's people sometimes that their sensibilities are little and they could live in a very haunted house and have almost no experiences.
Okay? Right.
You know, not everybody is as open or sometimes even things where what's in the house won't even interact with them for whatever reason, you know. So to be honest with you, I would have probably have done the same thing. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I would have said, especially after that experience you had, I would have been, okay, these are big guys.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. But, you know, I understand.
Yeah, we went from a big old colonial house to a 2-little-bedroom townhouse. Like, it was so small. It was probably 680 square feet.
Wow.
And my little cousin, my baby cousin Kayla, man, she made out. I gave her everything.
So let me ask something, Kristen. When you did that move, did you, now that you moved out, that you weren't living in that house, you felt that difference as well now that you weren't living there?
Yes, it was. It was. I was starting to normalize. I was starting to be able. I was finally finishing up my thesis for my dissertation for college.
Okay.
And I finally finished college, and I started writing the book too. I'd started writing the book.
Okay.
Just documenting, journaling, things like that, just for therapy and stuff like that. But afterwards. That's when I Googled Ohio Valley Paranormal Research Investigations. It was very normal. When we went to the swimming pool, we were able to sit on the porch. John had to teach us how to sleep in beds because we had never slept in beds before. It had been years since all of us slept in beds.
Wow.
And we, you know, he would come home or come over and come home from work sometimes, and he would see us all scattered on the living room furniture. And Lane was little then, so he would carry Lane up to his bed, and a couple hours later, you heard Lane come down, and he'd sleep with me on the couch, because that's how we slept. And honestly, this year, or no, I'm sorry, the 2015, we finally bought new beds for ourselves, and we had been sleeping in them. But, you know, that it took a long time to learn. And what was so cool about living in that apartment was it was a townhouse. So there was Jose's family that was next to us.
Okay.
And they owned a restaurant called Tlaque Paque. And it was so cool to hear Miguel and Rafael come home and run up and down those steps. I'm like, that's not paranormal activity. That's not ghosts.
Right. It's like, I don't have to worry. Like, who's making that noise? It's like, it's humans. It's cool.
Right. Yes. That was awesome. I mean, I can't tell you how. I mean, I broke down and cried that day, and I was like, oh, my God, thank you so much for those kids.
But you know what? Because what you're describing is, it sounds like back when you were at that house, every little noise, you were already second-guessing, like, who made that? You know, I know nobody, like, that's human made that, so you probably were constantly, which must have been exhausting, by the way.
It is. It was very exhausting. Yes, indeed. Gosh, was it hard. And the other stuff that was going on, you know, outside of the Belair house, it's the house next door has such a really negative, horrible story to it as well. And we were also dealing with that. We were also dealing with what happened next door and social workers.
Right there. Is it something that happened in 1995?
No, we can't talk about that.
Okay.
We're not allowed to talk about that.
Note that I did not say it. I just said the year.
Right.
And I knew you would understand it. Okay, so this is something totally separate. Okay.
Totally separate, yeah. Okay. It was right next door to the Belair house. And a boy turned a gun on his father because he had been molesting the kids in the basement. And that was public knowledge, so I can say that. I won't say their names out of respect for the family. But then other people came in to try to live in that house. And at that point, we had resources. We had paranormal resources okay. that were investigating that house as well. Now that house is abandoned. No one lives in it. And it's very, we've just started trying to think about going inside of there to see if there's a correlation from that house to the Blair
yeah.
house, and if it was the Blair or that house that did it to the Blair house.
Did this incident occur prior to you guys living at the Bel Air or at the same time, or what was the timing on that?
The winter that we moved in. We moved in July 4th weekend, and it was the winter. I believe it was the winter or maybe the winter after we moved in.
Okay.
It wasn't long because I was working on it for school. I was still in my master's program for school.
Okay.
I know I was because it was a shitty paper. And I heard bang, bang. And I'm a little, you know, I'm from Crabapple. I thought it was somebody catching a deer. I thought somebody shot a deer.
Oh, my God. So you heard it?
Yeah. And Hefe's like, you're crazy. He's like, we're in city limits. He's like, honey, he said, nobody shoots deer around here. I was like, yeah, but there's a river and there's a woods, you know. I grew up, you know, my dad was a deer hunter, you know.
Right.
That was normal to me. But it wasn't. Like, before we knew it, we were barricaded in by cops, ambulance, fire trucks, social workers. And, yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
So
that was so horrible.
How long had that been taking place? I mean, I know the culmination was obviously when that incident happened, the shooting. But how long had he been molesting kids before that happened?
I don't know. Probably
don't know?
A while. I didn't ask. I didn't. Because when it comes to kids,
I'm not thrilled with that
him.
Either. But
yeah.
And the reason why I'm asking is obviously that's as dark can get as far as human
yes.
behavior is concerned. You know, and it makes you wonder, like, you were asking, like, where did it come from? You know, did it start with Bel Air and go there or vice versa? That's why I was wondering, you know.
Right. And that just occurred to me, like, this year because we have so much help with the Bel Air house now with investigators and quality professional people in the field that are triggering me to look outside of just the Bel Air house, which is awesome because I can't help, you know, to the whole paranormal community. They've really taken me and my family under their wings and they've taught us so much and we're so grateful to all of them. And I would have never thought of that if it wasn't for, you know, Rebecca saying something like that to me. Ever, never, never thought about that.
Let me ask you something. Is that house as old as the Bel Air?
I don't know. I don't know too much about it. Like I said, we're
okay.
just getting ready to think about starting to see what's going on with that. I know the back taxes, there's back taxes on the house.
Okay.
It's a mess. Like it should be torn down. It is condemned, but I still want to know. I still want to see if there's a correlation there.
Well, no, the reason I was saying is that, you know, if it had, you know, as if it had been built for at least a length of time, like the Bel Air, God knows how many stories are there, you know,
mm-hmm.
that what you witnessed was maybe the tail end of something. And
right.
like you said, once you do the research, you're going to find who knows what.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, but everything's on hold. And, you know, we had so many great ideas, but everything's completely on hold because of the current situation with the Blair House. So what's the point to even proceed with investigating the house next door is what we call it.
Right.
If we might not even have the Blair House anymore, you know, we don't know.
And let me ask you, before we get to that, Kristen, I wanted to ask you something that, and the reason why I'm saying this is, you know as well as I do, there's a million paranormal groups going out there, wannabes or fans and everything. What would your advice be? Because it sounds like this has affected you your whole life. In other words, it's colored your whole life. Okay?
It has.
Almost like a cautionary tale. Sometimes for people that get involved with this or do things, you know, whether it's to invoke or they provoke or God knows, there's a million things people think of that they don't really understand what they're letting into their lives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes this can really affect you profoundly beyond when you're like saying, I don't want to play anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And
right.
I mean, in other words, from what it sounds like, you're saying, you know, this is for real. This really does happen. This is not the TV or the movie or the, you know what I'm saying? This is something that really happened to me. And I think a lot of people sometimes underestimate how realistic what you experienced is. You know, that things like what you described actually do happen. Okay? Uh-huh. And even now, like you said, which we're going to get into, that now, after the years that you've been going back and forth, and that now you're trying to save the Bel Air house from losing it, is from what I understand, right?
Yeah, for two reasons. One reason is I don't want to be exploited. I don't.
Okay.
I don't want my kids' faces put on me with my pictures in it. You know, I don't want to have to do something like that. I don't want the village to be exploited. I don't want somebody going in there that is uneducated.
Okay.
And just in it for the money to harm. That's not happen.
Okay.
You know, but going back to what would we say to somebody that wants to be a paranormal investigator?
Mm-hmm.
Don't. Just don't.
Right.
Don't. Why? You know, don't.
Well,
I wouldn't. If you want to look for that miracle, or if you want to look for that validation that there's life after death, or talk to spirit,
right?
Do it on your own. Do it in a positive way. Do it talking to God, talking to any deity, talking, meditating, looking for answers, looking for signs, and paying attention to the signs.
Right.
You don't need a piece of equipment to go hunting for demons. Who does that?
Right,
really?
And this is, and you know, you're making a very good point, which is exactly what I was looking for, which is if that is the thing that you're looking for, that you want to have. Unfortunately, some people want to go for the shock value, always thinking that, you know, we're going to do this, and then you never know what's going to come through, and you find yourself coming into contact with something that's very dark,
uh-huh.
And then when you don't want to have any involvement with it anymore, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's your
You're on their time. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
When you're done playing, the game just begins. That's exactly how it goes. And I've seen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a team come in there and completely disrespect me. I say no Ouija boards, no blood rituals, no minor rites. You're a 23-year-old child. You are not an ordained Catholic bishop from the Vatican. You're not.
Exactly.
Do not do a minor rite in my house, and do not dare do it on a Facebook live feed. First of all, anybody that does any kind of minor rites or solemn rites and videos them and televises them, it's against the old religion. You shouldn't be doing that in the first place.
Exactly.
But you know, I've had to take a kid out by the reservoir one day and educate the whole team. And I've watched that team diminish. I saw on social media that one of the team members was in a head-on collision, totaled his car. He walked away alive, thank God.
Wow.
But, you know, these things happen. These things happen. And it's no different than, you remember that old series Charmed, where all the little girls finally wanted to be witches.
Yes.
And then they're opening up all of this stuff and they don't know what they're doing. Same thing. Same thing here. Let's go to the Bel Air house. Let's go to the Hinsdale house. Let's go to resident acres and or the post town, and let's open up portals and let's see if we can get the shit scared out of us.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Right. But they don't understand that I've got a 14-year-old boy that is with me all the time, and I've got to go and clean that mess up. And if they put him in danger, they're not going to like me. And all of the other property owners, they're going to put them in danger. Their staff in danger.
Exactly.
There are rules. We get driver's license. We don't drink and drive. You know what I mean? Same thing.
Exactly.
Different arena, but the same thing.
And you know what?
And it's
I know where you're coming from, because you're not saying, oh, don't do paranormal investigation if that's what you want to do. It's the approach and the intention.
Right.
Okay. And there's a big difference between, you know, what can I see or what can happen that's, I'm going to be like, oh my God. And it's like, yeah, right. Okay. You know.
Right. I think that a personal experience with someone in a haunted location is going to really change their mind and shape them. And I honestly, we've had thousands, and I have favorites, and I have awesome favorites. Mike Simpson. If anybody is looking to be trained, I would totally get with Mike Simpson. He is by far the best paranormal investigator. He's so smooth. He is so nice. When I investigated with him, we not only spoke to spirit, earthbound spirit, inhuman spirit, native spirit, coal miners, but we also spoke to something that wanted to be called star people.
Alrighty then. Yeah, don't worry. By the way, I'm not saying I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. That man is just tuned in. He is completely, totally tuned in and respectful, completely 100% respectful. And that's how we'd like to operate at the Blair House. Don't come to the Blair House if you're not respectful.
Sure.
You know?
And you know what? In after you made mention of what happened next door, how much do you think, Kristen, it's a question also of the land itself before
it is.
Something was built?
Yeah, it's the land. I mean, it's a part of the French and Indian War, the coal mine fire, not the explosion. The explosion's connected to that portal, but we didn't know that back then. We were green, you know. We didn't have the right paranormal researchers with us. And I believed what anybody said at that point in time because I didn't know. But with years of research, the fire happened under the house, which was $8,000 to put out in the 1850s.
Wow, which is a lot of money. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the Ohio River in front of the house. And then we have the train wrecks. And we have, you know, gosh, just poverty because we're right beside the apartments that are based on income.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the coal miners, a lot of the steel mill workers, and just regular, didn't work anyway, are there. And there is that level of oppression, depression, infestation.
Absolutely.
And now, right. Yes. So it's all right there.
Let me tell you something. And I understand really, really well what you're talking about. And I guarantee you, not everybody's going to understand what you just said. Okay, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that don't understand that the perimeters of things is so far out from where you actually live every day, okay?
Right.
And they don't look beyond their own front yard, in other words. And
right.
What you described,
and I can tell you how many times, Sundays, 1 o'clock, I'm down there blessing their homes, their apartments.
Yes.
And they're good people. My God, are they good people. They're such good people. They'll give you the shirt off their back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like a rough neighborhood, but you know what? They've been unemployed for so long, and
yes,
there's no jobs in our area.
Right.
There isn't. And, you know, yeah, the neighborhood looks rough, but you go down in the apartments and you ask, gosh, Tiffany, for a bottle of salt, she's going to give it to you. You go up and ask Susie for a pumpkin pie, she's going to make you one right there. That's
right.
How those kind of people, I mean, that's how we are.
Right.
But unfortunately, they have rough.
I know, getting back to what I asked you originally about the land. Yes. Okay. And that partially explains what's going on. In other words, that it's like a ripple effect is, you know, beyond the actual Bel Air house, you know. It's like
right.
A ripple
it's
effect
the
out
land.
From there. Yeah. Well,
yes.
I take
has.
It back. The Bel Air House, for all we know, might not be the epicenter. You know?
No, it's not. It's not. I can't tell you how many cases are there. I can't even count them on my finger. And the good part about the Bel Air House is we have probably 200-300 business cards from paranormal investigators that if a family needs help, you know, they know where the key is. We're a tight-knit community. Go in and that resource book and call them.
Right.
That's how we operate down there. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Yep.
It's one of those things, Kristen, that it's almost like I can totally understand where you're at. Personally, you want the distance because you've had the downside of it, but at the same time, you've invested all this effort and time and everything into it that it's like you don't want to be bested by it either, because your intentions have never been in like you said, to exploit it is just to discover what's there.
Right.
Or to understand it,
absolutely.
In other words. You know, and mm-hmm. that makes a big difference.
I mean, we're looking for investors. We're looking for partners. We're looking for partners. We're looking for investors because I can't do this on my own.
Sure.
That area, it's just, you know, I have respiratory problems because of that house. I have, gosh, I had pneumonia for 3 months.
Wow.
I'm drained. I finally getting back to being normal, or whatever the hell normal is, but, you know, getting back to my normal,
why be normal?
Day life before. Right, like when renters would live there for a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was good. We balanced. We found that zen. We were happy. We were baking cupcakes, going to PTA meetings. So, like, for the past 3 weeks, when I just raised my hands and I said, you know what? What happens. I can't feed this anymore. If I can save it, I can save it. If I can't, I'm at peace with that, too. It's their karma if they try to do this to us. That's it. But I'm done. I took that last breath and said, I'm done. I meant it. And I surrendered and I released.
Okay.
And I'm finally getting back to who I was before what I have become. That's tough.
And you know what? And I'm really glad to hear that, because I want to make a comment about that. How long we had to go round and round just to connect, and that we both agreed that they were trying to sabotage you talking about this. Okay.
Oh my God.
And you know that as well as I do, that anybody who doesn't understand will mm-hmm. go, oh, those two kooks, mm-hmm. what are they talking about? And it's,
yep.
no, it's not that. Once you've been around situations like this,
right.
or spiritual turbulence like this, you understand the way it can manifest. Okay. And like I told you,
yes.
I've interviewed a bunch of people using Skype. Yeah, and every once in a while, I know Skype sometimes is its own thing, but we were going around and around. We couldn't connect. You were sending me requests. I was sending you requests. We were, like, missing each other. And, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I know that angle. Been there, done that. So let me ask you, are you still looking? I mean, I know you mentioned that you were looking for investors. Are you looking as far as the GoFundMe page that you had set up? Are you still accepting donations?
Not anymore.
Okay.
No. We have a little PayPal donation button on our website.
Okay.
GoFundMe. I think we raised like maybe $1,200 on there, and
okay.
they take so many fees out of that.
Really?
They truly do.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I
we don't.
Know that.
And I didn't want to do that GoFundMe page anyway. I truly didn't. But when
okay.
all of a couple of other property owners said, well, we're going to do events to raise money for the Blair House because we don't want you to leave our community.
Right.
That's when my husband and I were like, we got to do something. We can't just sit here like bumps on a log and
right.
let everybody work for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we did that. But then that became so dramatic, too. And I don't like the fees that they do. So we just did a donation button on the website. But I think that the best thing to do is get some partners and put their names on the deed. Because this is why I say that. After talking to Dan from the Hinsdale House,
right.
he doesn't go there all the time. He has a lot of volunteers. He has a lot of staff. So he doesn't have to go there a lot. And I,
right.
honestly, I don't want to go there a lot for two reasons, because it's draining
right.
and it knocks me off my zen. And the other part of it is walking in and seeing all of those memories, those psychological things is also
right.
an imbalance for me too.
Sure.
So if we have partners that can help us, and we have a slew of volunteers now,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is great.
Okay.
Like Danny and Jim are phenomenal, and Sherry and Kyle and Goat, you know, they help out so much. We can do this, but what this creditor is wanting is stupid. This amount of money that he's wanting is stupid, and it's
okay.
there's no reason for this, but
right.
there's a reason for it, you know. But in my mind, I just can't justify them doing what they're doing. It doesn't make any, it's just not right. And I'll say it again, my dad taught me, Clint Eastwood said, fair ain't got nothing to do with it. And I get that. I get it. But these guys are just sharks. They're just sharks.
Yeah.
I don't like them. They don't like me. So I see that the only way to actually save the Blair House is getting partners and
sure.
putting their names on the deed. And if we can't do that, then we'll just, you know, well, I won't say we will. We've already rezoned it as residential. So whomever is trying to have filthy fingers and take the Blair House because they think we're millionaires, which we're not,
okay.
Will have a house. They will have a house. because it'll never, ever be rezoned as a business ever again in Bel Air, ever.
Okay.
And I have the word of the mayor as well as the code enforcer.
So in other words, whoever gets it is either going to have to live it or rent it out as a house, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's a shitty situation too, because what if a mundane family comes in, and what happens if they go through what we went through? The karma's bad for them either way. Either way, they're just, it's not good.
You know what?
Not good.
And sometimes, and Kristen, I'm sure you're aware of it, sometimes you made a good point that there's a point in, that, you know, that you let it go and see where it goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially after you put all this effort and, like you said, how you've had people, you know, try to raise money for you and you're doing things on your end and, you know, you've got people out there rooting for you, especially in the paranormal community. There's a moment that you got to step back and let it go and just see where it goes. And, you know, one of the things
right.
that's going to happen, and in other words, I guess my point is, I'm going to have my little esoteric moment here, which is, you know what, that you say, what I want the outcome is going to be for my highest good, which means, you know, if my highest good is to stay there and keep it and keep working with it, that's what's going to happen. And if not, it's not. And maybe something better is there for you, because it sounds like you gained a lot of experience during everything that you went through so far with that house, Kristen. You know, it's like you don't see.
I have. Oh, God, I have. You know, I really have.
I mean, I think that, but you know what? I have a feeling that you are going to get somebody to step in there and help you out with that. I really do. You know, it's not wishful thinking on my part, you know, which I do wish the best for you and, you know, to keep the Bel Air house going, especially the way you described, which is nobody actually lives there and you just have it staffed with people who come and go. But you know what I'm saying? And you just let groups use it.
Yep. I mean, it's a fully functional house.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, these groups that come in, they have fully furnished bedrooms. They have a shower. They have towels. They have soap. They have a refrigerator, a stove. They have food. They have water, heat. You know, they have everything that they need. It's home. But it's really not a home. It's a business. But it was my home that we just can't live in.
Right.
Everything's still there. You know, and the reason why we made the bedrooms charge people extra money to sleep, I watch all of the paranormal teams come in. They're coming in at, you know, 5:30 to 8 o'clock. They roll in anywhere from that time. They're up until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
I'm talking about my friends.
No,
my
let me
family,
tell you something.
My family get on that highway.
You know
what?
Kristen, I have done investigations since the 1990s, okay? And, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, it was, you know, back then it was like you went in there like, yeah, for a few hours, and that was it. But as you gain more experience, you realize, especially if you're talking a larger area or a bigger house or whatever, you really do not get a good chance to get the full experience when you're there unless you're there for a while, okay? And, of course, the more time you're there, whether it's one day or 2 days, that's when you really have the best chance of capturing some type of evidence versus going in there 2, 3, or 4, maybe 5 hours the most. It's just because the supernatural is not an on-demand thing, okay? And like you said, sometimes after that, you're like blitzed out. You're like ready, like, you know, I'm ready to sleep because I'm tired, you know. I've been up, like you said, till 5 or 6 in the morning, and I'm ready to crash. So the fact that you offer that for a team to go in there and actually have a place to, like, lie down and snooze, that's worth that's invaluable, as a matter of fact.
That's
very
why it's so popular. Right, that's one of the reasons why it's also so popular. I mean, I've watched Filthy Fingers take this. They call it a business model now. I don't call it that, you know. I call it, I'm taking care of my friends because I don't want to see them die. I love them. I can't handle my friends dying.
Sure.
I can't do that. That would just knock me off my rocker. I'd be like, you know, whatever that sitcom was. I couldn't handle that. There's no way. So, but yeah, other people have caught on to that, you know, and they're like, oh, we're just going to pull a Kristen Lee and be a Bel Air house. That's fine.
as long as they're doing it for the right intention, not to make money, if they're taking care of the people, but they're not. They're absolutely not.
And you know what? And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm fascinated by what you said about that property next door. I'm telling you. That right there.
Well, when we get off of here, I'll give you the name so you can Google it and look it
okay.
up.
Okay. Don't worry. I mean, I can, you know, if it made the news, don't worry. I'll find it. But you can, you know, send it to me. But I'm very fascinated, not only because of that, but let me ask you something. How close is it to the Bel Air house, distance-wise? Like the yard over, are we talking, what, a quarter of a mile, a few hundred?
No, it's right next door. Like, there's my
shed. Oh, it's
shed
that close.
Outside
okay.
of the Bel Air house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's right next to my shed.
Oh, that close. Okay.
Yeah, and I have a deal with the village. As long as I maintain the property, like the field, because we have big yards. We have fields.
Right,
We can use that to park. So now we can use all of that to park. The Bel Air house people to come to investigate can just park in the field instead of along the fence. So I bought a tractor a couple weeks ago before.
Okay, yeah, man, I got one of my own. And I'm good. I live on a large piece of property, so I know what you mean. And believe it or not, my house is 100 years old, so I understand more than you think about what you're talking about. But you know what, Kristen? And the reason I would love, once you get a chance, I know you got a lot of things going on. I'm not saying, you know, but I would love to get back together with you. So you, once you get over to that other house and you do some exploration, whether it's research of, you know, facts and feelings, whatever it is that you come up with, because I really truly feel like there is that right there is, you're gonna find a lot there, and
it's big.
You can and you can't help but anticipate that it's gonna be connected. That the Bel Air, that there's a come. It's just like you said, that what's happened there does not occur in a vacuum. Okay. And once you told me what went on over there. Okay, that right there tells me that you're probably going to find a lot of interesting things once you have a chance to do some exploring over there and some research on it. I can almost guarantee you that, because
it's a mess inside of there. Like you can't. We thought for years that you'd fall through the floor, but you can't. A couple guys went in, and they went in when we had our last weekend lockdown when Lola and Mike Simpson hosted it.
Right.
The one man, John, this vet, military vet, he ended up on the back porch of the Bel Air house crying his eyes out and puking from
really?
That house. Yeah, he said it was, there was baby shoes and diapers still there.
Oh,
and
my God. And he was...
He was a mess. He was a total mess when he came back. Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
So we just don't go. We just haven't gone in because we saw what happened to him, and there was a couple other people that were with him, and they're like, not yet. So we're just, I'll sit at home and I'll research, but I don't think I'll go in there. I just don't want to, you know, and that goes back to paranormal people. Pick and choose your battles. You got to pick and choose your battles.
Yes.
I don't want that battle.
Yes.
God, I don't want that one.
Yes. Yes, especially when you really don't know exactly what you're dealing with over there.
That's right.
Because this is what you know like what you became aware of because you were living right next door and maybe the news or whatever. But in truth, you really don't truly know what's there. And
right. I mean, I thought they were antiquers. I thought they went and bought beautiful antiques and sold them on eBay.
Uh-huh.
I thought that's what they did.
Yeah.
I truly didn't think that, you know, they would come over. He taught me how to do eBay. He taught me how to sell on eBay. He would be in my office, which is going up to the attic, and taught me how to sell, like, you know, just eBay stuff that we didn't need anymore. And turns out that they weren't selling antiques. They weren't. They're selling videos.
Wow.
Of that. Yeah.
And you know what? I tell everybody, you know, monsters, 9 times out of 10, they don't look like monsters.
No. No, they don't.
You know.
No, they don't.
Otherwise, the jig is up. So they learn how to imitate regular emotions and act like regular people. You know.
Yes.
You know, and you know, how many times has that guy? And I'm not saying this in this instance, but you know, when you hear that national news that they discover a bunch of bodies buried in somebody's backyard, and then they interview the neighbors and they say exactly like what you said. Oh, but he was such a nice guy, and he was really quiet, and you know, it never looked like, you know, stuff like that. So yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
That's so, what we all thought.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that I'm gonna be staying in touch with you because I'm so curious. From a paranormal point, because I can tell you, I mean, it's dark and it's disturbing just on the face of it. But I can tell that there's more to that whole thing, that like this chapter, the next chapter, if you want to call it, as part of the history of the Bel Air or what happens with the Bel Air. I'm telling you right now, because of the land thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my buddies Dave Spinks and Dave Weatherly with SOS, I think it's called Society of the Supernatural. Mm-hmm. They help my friend Cindy. She owns a building, maybe about two blocks from the Bel Air House, that is a it's an escape zone, and they went and did an investigation there because she had reported very odd activity.
Okay.
There's activity there. I mean, it's Bel Air. Like, you walk into one of the local mom-and-pop's restaurants, and some of the paranormal people come back and tell me this. They say, well,
I knew it. I was.
They asked, you know, if they thought that the Bel Air House was haunted, and the service staff is like, the whole damn town is haunted. What are you talking about? When are you going to help us? You know? Yeah. And they get attitudes with them, you know, not disrespectfully, but somebody will go and do something about it, you know. If they don't know, they take years to discover. They think that, when this is what pisses me the most, when paranormal team comes in and they do an investigation and they stir stuff up and they leave, well, what's the family supposed to do? There's no house blessing. There's no nothing. And that aggravated me for years. Like,
yeah.
We've got these ideas and we have these things, but thank God I didn't have to live in the house anymore.
Right. Well, you know what?
You know what I mean? When they started to do the full-fledged investigations, I cannot imagine, and I pray to God that everybody's safe, that when it comes to living in their home, you know, I don't know. That was just...
You know what, Kristen?
I remember us being all together. I remember it. I can't stick to the team.
Well, I'm losing you a little bit on the transmission.
Are you there? Did they screw
up? I'm here. But okay. You know what? I'm going to, like I said, and as a matter of fact, I'm even going to send you a clip. I mean, there's even been murders there, like, I mean, around that area that, considering I know it's a small town and a low population, which even from like, one from like 1938 that involved a miner, like you said, that there's been a lot of accidents because of the trains, which is normal. I mean, you can't put everything on the paranormal, you know, that life is life and bad things happen like that. But, you know, I really wish you the best of luck. I have a feeling that this is going to get resolved in the end the way you want it, which is, you know. And I want to bring you back on, like I said, because I want to see what goes on next door. But either way, just to find out what happens, I'm putting links to your website on the credits of the show. Okay. So, like, you know, because considering that you've set down such great rules as far as for groups to go in there, it's a fantastic training ground for paranormal groups.
Yeah, thank you. What happened? That's all I got. I lost you. I lost you completely. I have no idea what you said.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then, no, that I was saying that that the Bel Air House, considering that you've set down these rules, it's a fantastic training ground. Or
yes.
Or just besides the fact of the actual investigation, because of not only because of what can be captured there, but like what you said, that you offer amenities so that people can actually truly investigate. Not be thinking, okay, I got to get out of here and then I got to go drive somewhere.
Right.
So anyway, I've got your credit. I've got your listings on the credits of the show as to how people can connect to the site for the Bel Air House.
Okay.
Okay. Plus, that I know you booked that you've got. That's out on Amazon, right?
Yes, it is. Yep. And that's just the beginning. I wrote that book for the next homeowners of the house to give them detail by detail of what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I did that. But, you know, I'm halfway through a second book that's a heck of a lot more educated than the first book because I'm educated now. But it's just like, what's the point of releasing it when we don't even know what the fate of the house is? So it's sitting there on my desk. I'm not touching it right now. I'm just kind of stopped. Stopped everything. And I'm living. You know what I mean? I'm living life with my family. So
sure.
That's cool. And I'm going to take that for now. You know, I'll definitely take that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just let it go. And it's like, you know, it's going to get resolved one way or the other. But at the end of the mm-hmm. day, it's there's something sometimes that we, don't get me wrong, I understand about worrying about things, but there's a point that the worrying is not going to change the outcome no matter how much you worry. You know?
That's right.
So,
that's right.
And,
yep.
You know, moments with your family, you can never replace those no matter how hard you try. So, but like mm-hmm. I said, I have a feeling things are going to work out for you. I have a feeling as far as the Bel Air House, and we'll stay in touch and, we'll see what happens and, you know, absolutely. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Kristen, because I know I have a feeling, whether it's through the Bel Air House or not, even though I feel it's going to get resolved. You know what? You sound like a really smart lady, and there's it's like what I call, you know, your horizons are, you know, despite sometimes that we telescope about because we get caught up in what we're doing day to day, and especially when you're going through what you described now with the Bel Air, you know, there's more beyond that for you, I'm sure of it.
I think so, but I think I'm going to go into hiding if this doesn't, you know, if we lose the house, I'm just going to be by myself for probably a year, work on my clientele that I have, my private clients, and mm-hmm. I'm going to find a psychologist to teach me how to live life after this. I don't know. I don't know anything other than that right now because that's what I've lived for 13 years. So I got to get that under my belt.
Sure. But you know what? You made a very good point. There's nothing better than for a while not doing anything. Nothing. You know, like, you know, when I say not doing it, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
It's like, I'm just going to stop and just veg out. I'm going to just like let my mind drift. I know that because we get so caught up with what we do and
mm-hmm.
the to-do list and the phone and the thing and the that and the show and the kid and the that sometimes not doing anything does wonders, psychologically speaking especially.
Right. Yeah, I'll probably work maybe 25, 30 hours a week because I don't have to work 50, 60 hours a week to pay for the Bel Air House anymore.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I'm just going to maybe take a bath every day and
uh-huh. Yes.
You know, lay there for 3 hours and who knows, you know, who
yeah.
knows?
Yeah. Like
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Either way, it'll be worked out. So good
yeah.
luck to you. And thank you again so, so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
Listen, I truly appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much for spending time with me tonight, too.
Absolutely.
It was wonderful.
Take care,
and
darling.
Just keep in touch. You too.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, this thing is lagging. Darn it. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that because I know I did. It's so funny because I'm not kidding you. Prior to this, me and Kristen were like figuratively, if not literally, I don't have that much hair to pull out, trying to get the Skype thing going. And it wasn't. And I've connected a million times and she has it too. And I couldn't find her. We were sending each other requests and it wasn't working. It was like, we were there. Finally, we called each other on the phone. We were laughing because we realized that it was like, okay, you know, let's take this out of the equation of, it was like, okay, there's somebody here that's putting their 2 cents worth in. Yes, a paranormal sabotage moment. You know how I feel about those. But anyway, I think it was so interesting to speak to her, because I know she's glossed over a lot of what happened. She's written the book. You know, she's retold the stories a million times. And you know what? Despite everything that's in that house, the experiences she's had, because even I was telling her, even you know, before we started recording, that I had looked at a lot of the history that she researched, that she's put up on her site about this the family that originally was there, the Hetheringtons, and I was out telling her, I said, you know what, this guy was successful. I mean, I don't see anything really dark, bad, except people living a normal human life where sometimes tragedies happen, especially back then. Children died, people died, people died at home, people had their babies at home, died at home, had wakes in their home. This was not like, because we look at it now, and you know, nowadays when you see somebody say, oh, they died in the house, they're like, oh my God, somebody died in the house. And it's like, yeah, well, sometimes they can't help it because they died. But back then that was the norm, and then people had wakes in their house, and that was the norm. So that in and of itself doesn't make it per se a spooky thing. And when I looked at, I was going to ask her, where do you think that, the Bel Air got dark with a house? And then we talked about the land, you know, was it something that was there before this guy constructed it? She made mention another thing that we talked about that I didn't talk about, because we talked while we were trying to connect on Skype, which is they got the mines underneath the house that they had that fire. And I'm going to tell you, it never fails. Things having to do with the underground of the house, whether it's the basement or stuff like mines or tunnels, not only do you get hauntings, but it's always really negative, malevolent, intimidating stuff. Every time I run across buildings, houses that have that type of profile with it, like I said, either a basement or tunnels, or in this case, mines. when people experience the haunting, it's got a really, really dark slant to it. And it's like, okay, thank God I don't got basements here in South Florida. Yay! Because it's almost like there's something about the earth being disturbed. I don't know. At this point, I'm not sure how that impacts it. But anyway, I'm lagging. I know I'm lagging. So anyway, guys, I hope that you enjoyed it. I know I did. I thought this was a fantastic interview with Kristen. That fact of what's going on next door. Talk about the land. That's very dark. Okay. And I'm going to make a point here. A lot of times, especially because we've been conditioned by Hollywood, we always think of malevolence or demonic, and I'm not saying it's demonic. I'm just using that word because everybody else uses it, so why not? But anyway, dark, malevolence, evil, there you go. And when it comes through the supernatural, it's like people spitting stuff out, or their eyes going wide, or they're doing that backwards stand. And it, no, folks. The influence of evil is when people do exactly what she described that happened next door in that house, which is called molestation of children. Believe it or not, the true intent of evil is to destroy. Think about it. What's more destructive? Running around and scaring the crap out of people because you're doing something not humanly possible? Okay, where they're like calling the nearest priest or clergy, or to basically corrupt a person to where they get to the point that they do that. I'm telling you right now, I know it's not as scary or as gripping as what Hollywood wants us to believe, but that right there, and I've seen it a lot of times, is very, very common when you have deep, dark spiritual turbulence in a house, when there's the influence there. And I'm not talking about a regular haunting, okay, where, you know, you got grandpa or the neighbor or maybe the guy that built the house. Yeah, it could give you cold chills and you feel kind of bad. And to be honest with you, I still, that's Marlene's theory of the way it should be. The living should not coexist with the dead. I don't care who they are. I don't care what their intentions. They go, they can come back and visit, but them staying there all the time, old man, little kid, I don't care who it is. It's not good for the living or the dead. That's what Marlene believes and knows based on a lot of years of experience, okay? But anyway, but what I'm saying is, when you got that kind of haunting, it's scary, and yeah, eventually the idea is to move everybody on, you know, and go on to whatever. But when you've got something that's malevolent, or something that became malevolent along the way, or maybe mixed where you got some, you do see stuff like this. You see the corruption of humans, okay? You don't see it happen overnight either, okay? It filters in, and it does something to you. And part of what Kristen said, she was involved with this house, either living or being the landlord, for years. And she herself realized that when she was outside of it, and thankfully she was astute enough to recognize what was happening and open to accepting that there was something in that house that was affecting her. There's a lot of people that never want to go there. They make the connection maybe subconsciously, but consciously they don't ever want to make the connection that whether they behave a certain way or they feel certain ways when they're in a certain building, like in their house, they never want to go there. They leave it there. And she recognized it, which is hats off to you, Kristen. Okay. But I'm telling you, I know it's a lot less dramatic, but if you really do want to know what evil is about, this is the way it manifests. And sometimes, guess what? Sometimes horrible things like this happen, and it never makes the headlines. People are victimized. Animals are victimized by people that become monsters because they're influenced by evil. Okay, and nobody ever knows about it. As a matter of fact, there's a gazillion million untold stories from time immemorial where things never come to light. So, and the purpose of this, all right, is that when I was talking to Kristen about, like, where, you know, everybody sometimes is tripping all over themselves, especially if you're not really experiencing the paranormal, because you want to have that shock and awe moment that something, whatever, does something. Somebody somersaults backwards in the air and you're like, oh my God. You got to be really, really careful what you're asking for. Okay. I suggest to anybody who's going into paranormal, go into the paranormal light before you go into that. Because it's what can walk with you once you come into contact with something like this is something that I guarantee you at some point you're going to wish to yourself, why did I ever go to this place? You know, especially, and this happens a lot to people who don't understand what they're going to gauge with, underestimate it or overestimate their abilities, and just think, it's all a bunch of bullshit, you know, and it's not, you got to be really careful. And if you don't believe me, listen to what she said. That was lightly. This experience with the Bel Air house has colored Kristen's life and that of her family for years, to the point, you all heard it, she wants to be able to offer the experience to paranormal researchers, but she does not want to live there. As a matter of fact, she wants to have very little contact, physical contact with that house. And I guarantee you, nobody does that because they've got nothing better to do. She has good reason to. And, you know, other things, you could read her book and other things that, you know, she doesn't publicly say and or has written about. But anyway, guys, anyway, I hope you like the show. You know, I hope you hit the like button. I hope you subscribe to my channel. I've got a lot more interesting guests coming on very, very soon. And I'm hoping, like I said, that I want to be able to bring Kristen back on just to see as an update what's happening with the Bel Air house. And especially if something happens with that next door, property. So again, guys, today it is Today's Father's Day. I know I'm going to air this a lot later now because I stagger these things. But I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of the week. Even though you're probably going to see this a lot later on, for those fathers out there, happy Father's Day. Thank you so much, and take care.